Welcome to the National Awakening Conference call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I'm the National Field Director for STAND, and I will be your host today. Bishop Jackson is on his way to the southern border, and so he will not be able to be with us today. So I will be carrying the ball. Let's open with a word of prayer as usual. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this great country that you've given to us. Thank you for the grace that you have poured out on us as a nation. Lord, we owe you everything. We owe you all these years of freedom, all these years of prosperity. And now we're facing difficulties. We're facing struggles. We're facing some things that even in our short lifetimes, we could not have imagined that these things would be taking place. And so, Lord, we're coming to you today because we not only want to thank you for the gift of the United States of America, but we also want to plead for your turning things back, getting things back on track again, because we've drifted far, far away from you. Lord, we know that you have good plans for us. We know that there are things that you would desire to do, but Lord, we also know that without repentance on the part of our nation, without Second Chronicles 7:14 says, unless we pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, you are really not able to pour out on us that grace that you have for us. And so, Lord, again, we're asking you to move in the hearts of men and women and young people today to get us back on track, to get us back to those founding principles, to get us back to the things that this country has stood for over these last 200 plus years. And so we are depending on you, and we're asking, Lord, that you indeed would fulfill the desires of your heart in us and through us so that we can be that shining city on a hill once again. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our subject today is censorship, gutting the First Amendment, and you saw in the letter that went out, the introductory letter for this call, the initial statement there, it's bad enough when social media sites such as Facebook or Twitter restrict what we are allowed to post on their sites. It shouldn't happen in a free society. But then, later on, it's, that's bad enough. But yet, when the government, when we find out that the government is who is behind it, when it's government pressure on these media outlets, that's the cause for the censorship, then that's even a greater complication than what we initially, we were screaming and yelling about the restrictions that were placed on us by YouTube and by Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all the different social media and almost in a sense ridiculing the Washington Post and the New York Times and Los Angeles Times for the reporting, the biased reporting, and not recognizing at the time, at least, or at least most of us didn't recognize it at the time, that it was the government that was behind it all the time. And when we see the FBI and the Justice Department and the National Security Administration and these various government organizations putting pressure on these social media platforms to shut down various misinformation, as they call it, which in the most part that so-called misinformation turned out to be the truth, and yet we don't have apologies. We don't have apologies from any of the media saying, "Oh, well, we were wrong, and we shouldn't have done what we did." No apologies for the censorship that we have experienced. This is going to be more of a dialogue, hopefully a dialogue today. So if you would like to talk about this issue, I don't know that I can answer too many questions, but at least we can discuss the subject. press star six to get in queue, and we'll entertain your comments and questions. I would like to continue. You know, we've just become aware of, and I think it was just exposed in committee a day or two ago, of the extent to which particularly the Biden administration put pressure on Facebook, on Meta, particularly to block certain opinions, certain memes, and it's just, you know, it's astounding to me that they were able to get away with it for as long as they did, and as I said, we still don't have apologies from Zuckerberg or any of these others. I think what Elon Musk has done with Twitter, even though it's not perfect, is a vast improvement over what we had before. But when we look at the First Amendment, when we say we look at that and we say, okay, we have freedom of religion, we have freedom of the press, we have freedom of speech, we have freedom to assemble, freedom to redress the government. You know, we have freedom to peacefully protest, I guess, is what we've referred to in the past. Yet, it's those very freedoms that seem to be under threat. That seem to be the things that you know, and we've seen for many years now. You know, the Second Amendment, of course, is being threatened, as long as we have the right to speak our minds, as long as we have the right to voice our opinions, you know, we feel fairly secure. But when we're realizing that those who speak the truth, and we think of all those persons who lost their jobs, who were in a sense persecuted for their opinions that happened to differ from the standard or from the position that the government was taking, particularly over COVID or the COVID shot and all the, you know, people say, well, I don't trust it. Well, you have to trust it. You can't. And so anybody voicing a different opinion, you know, people have actually gone to jail over that, you know, going to, you know, being able to stand up and say, no, I refuse to accept Dr. Fauci's explanation. I refuse to accept that. I don't agree with that. I'm going to stand up for my own opinions. When we refused to go along with the government program, then you know, we were shut down. And that, you know, I guess it's fairly minimal to say that's not American. That's not the way we do things here, but yet that seems to be the standard procedure. So let's go ahead and talk about this. I don't have, again, you know, I'm standing in. I'm the one who was given this task. So, like I said, I don't necessarily have all the answers to all the questions, but let's at least talk about it. So, Vanity, go ahead and let's talk to Jose. Go right ahead.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Knight. This is Jose from the DPRC, the Democratic People's Republic of California. So nice to talk to you on this subject. I have a quick question for you. It seems that some very anti-family, anti-marriage, very leftist Marxist organizations like to use our public facilities, such as public libraries and etc., for their very mean-spirited, anti-child, anti-woman kind of rhetoric program. You can dress it up whatever you want it as, like artwork or just family songs or whatever. And what they have is a what's called a free speech area. And they'll put up tape and or a little sign, and you can go to this area and hold something that is A, not disruptive. You can't, I don't even know if you can hold a sign, but it seems to me that the First Amendment was applicable across all of America and not just refined to a little box section like where you'd put a zoo animal for observation or control. So they've sort of flipped the narrative and the rules, so to speak, that they can do anything bad and mean and whatever as long as they schedule it with the librarian who now the American, I think the main librarian is a lesbian Marxist, I think the national director for libraries across America. So your thoughts on that as far as just giving token nod to our free speech. You're not allowed to speak, you're not allowed to hold a sign, you're not allowed to have anything, but just sort of stand in an area and watch this is
right.
Very demonic activity.
Yeah, Jose, it is interesting because even on college campuses, you have free speech zones. Well, it's not a free speech zone. America is a free speech zone. And so, the restrictions that they place on, public libraries, you can't say this or you can't do that. Well, you can have drag shows, but Kirk Cameron has been barred from most of the libraries that he has attempted to get into to read his book, but yet you can have the drag queen shows, almost in any library you choose. So yeah, you're absolutely right. They flipped the script, and now they're doing what they have always accused us of. I think Bishop has joined us, Bishop Jackson.
Yes. Hey, Marlon. And hello, everybody. I am stuck in the airport in one of these usual delays that we have. So. Folks, I just want to take a minute, and if I can, I've got about 10 minutes. I'll take a couple minutes and respond to some questions and make a brief comment and then respond to a couple questions in the time I've got, because I think we're scheduled to start boarding here in about 10 minutes. But look, I heard, Jose, some of what you were asking about. What you're talking about is really it is the frog in the kettle situation. Our First Amendment liberties are being slowly but surely eroded, so that our expectations are not even what they once were. I mean, our expectations were once that basically you could say anything you want to say as long as you're not threatening people, as long as you're not causing actual harm. In other words, like yelling, fire in a crowded theater. You can say anything you want to say. You're not restricted by the fact that it's hateful. You're not restricted by the fact that people don't like it. And now we're in a situation where everyone is on pins and needles because we found all of these excuses for why your First Amendment liberty should be curtailed. You can't say it if it's hate speech. You can't say it if it's, they now call it violent speech. And violent speech is just simply, if you disagree with a homosexual lifestyle, you disagree with transgenderism, that's violent speech. If I say homosexuality is sin, that's violent speech because somehow you're encouraging people to commit acts of violence, which is, on that basis, throw the whole Bible out. Because the Bible convicts the world of sin. And so anything in the Bible that tells you you shouldn't do this because it's wrong is somehow forbidden. You shouldn't be able to say that in the public square. So there's no question that we are looking at a censorship movement in the country. Because look, in order to take over America, you got to do two things. You got to indoctrinate everybody you can, and you got to censor everybody who doesn't agree. So, indoctrination doesn't work without censorship. You've got to stop people from hearing the other side so they don't have a chance to think about what they're being told. They're just told, well, this is the only way anybody is supposed to think, and you just kind of over time accept that. And, you start doing that with children, and you do that in public schools, and in government schools. You do that in colleges and universities. You do that in the corporate world. You do that in the military. And before you know it, you've got a completely compliant population because people don't really even know anymore what freedom looks like. So we've got a big task ahead of us. And look, you all know I'm running for president because I don't think most of these candidates understand what I just said. I mean, what I just told you is the fact. This is what's going on. I don't think most candidates understand we're in a cultural revolution. We're not having a mere debate about policy. We are in the middle of an attempt to fundamentally alter the very nature of this country forever. And if you don't get that, you shouldn't be running for president. That's for sure. Well, look, I'm facing the same kind of thing because, as you all know, and some of you may have gotten this, Andrew Womack, my good friend, has been kind enough to send out a major mailing letting people know that I'm running for president and expressing his support. And I've gotten some calls from people today who finally got the word because the mainstream media and even the conservative media are completely boycotting me. They're not acknowledging my candidacy at all. And some of these people have no chance of winning the nomination. I don't have zero chance. It might be a long shot because, obviously, Trump is the favorite candidate. But some of these people have zero chance. Christie has zero chance. Larry Elder has zero chance. William Hurt has zero chance. Some of these people have no chance at all. This is just not possible. The Republicans would never nominate them. And yet, the mainstream media is boycotting me. So right now, so you all can hear the airport in the background, right now, I'm headed for the border, and I'm only the third candidate to visit the border. We got 14 candidates in this race that I'm aware of. I've heard there might be one or two more. I'm only the third candidate. Only Trump, DeSantis, and E.W. Jackson will have visited the border by the end of this week. So that's where I'll be from now until the end of the week. We're headed down there now. With some border guards who are going to be talking to us and sharing with us. Let me say one other thing about that, and if I can, I'll take maybe one question or comment. One of the reasons why I think it's so important for me to visit the border is I've grown tired of hearing that opposition to illegal immigration is racist, it's anti-Hispanic, it's this, that, and the other. It is simply about the rule of law, protecting American sovereignty and American national security. That's it. It is not about hatred of those people who are coming across. We don't hate them, but they don't have a right to come into our country without going through the proper process, period. Doesn't matter what the color of their skin is, doesn't matter what language they speak. That's the way it's supposed to work. And somebody's got to say that clearly and unalterably. And just to let you all know, my border policy is really fivefold if you break a couple down into one. Number one, finish the wall and add every bit of technology possible to make it impossible to go over it, under it, around it, or through it. Number two, zero tolerance for illegal immigration, meaning if you come into our country illegally, you are forever banned from being a citizen. Number two, if you come into our country illegally, we will find you and deport you. No exceptions. No exceptions. And number three, I propose a constitutional amendment to end anchor babies, to make clear that in order to be born an American citizen in our country, you must have at least one parent who is an American citizen. If you don't have one parent, biological parent, who is an American citizen, and you happen to be born here on vacation, while you pass on vacation, you happen to be born here because somebody engineered getting you here so that you could be anchored with a child who's an American citizen, that will be over, because that's not what the 14th Amendment was intended to provide. The 14th Amendment, as you all know, was intended to say that Africans who had been brought here as slaves were indeed American citizens. That was the purpose of the 14th Amendment, not this anchor baby scandal that we've got going that is, again, a threat to our national security because China is sending people over here to have babies. And then they can have babies who are American citizens, take them back, indoctrinate them with communism, and send them when they're ready, and they come back here with all the privileges of American citizenship. That doesn't make any sense. So, folks, I've got a very strong border policy. I'm going down to talk to these border agents and to talk to people at the border and see what's going on down there so I can have a firsthand knowledge of what's happening and the ability to speak to it intelligently based upon my own personal observation rather than just what I've read and what I've been shown on television. Well, look, I'm really out of time. But, Pastor Marlon, thank you for standing in This is an extremely important issue, folks, because if our First Amendment liberties go, everything else ultimately goes, because that's the basis whereby we defend the rest of those liberties, being able to discuss it, debate it, argue about it, and put it out there. And if they stop us from doing that, the Second Amendment will soon go. And before you know it, the whole Bill of Rights will be gone for all practical purposes, or what we've got right now, which is the Bill of Rights seems to apply if you're liberal, but it doesn't apply if you're conservative. That's not America. That's not a constitutional republic, and we're not going to stand for it. So God bless each and every one of you. Thanks for letting me break in this way. I will be back. I'm pretty sure I'll be on the call next Tuesday. But you all pray for me. Go to my website, ewjacksonforpresident.com. You all know that we're trying to get on the August 23rd platform for the debate. That's a tough haul because we got to get 40,000 unique contributors, but we're making progress every single day. So if you haven't given yet, even as little as a dollar helps us to get there. So do the best you can for us, but pray for us that God will give us the kind of breakthrough that would catapult us into that debate, because I really think that calling America back to God is a fundamental message that must be heard, and frankly, I'm the only candidate running who is going to bring that message. So God bless you all. Thank you all. Pastor Marlon, thank you, and talk to you all soon.
Thank you, Bishop. Yeah, Bishop raised a couple issues there regarding the border. You know, we're not allowed to talk about illegal. In fact, they've even changed the terms. They're not illegal immigrants anymore. I don't remember what the terms are, but yeah, you can't use that term illegal immigrant anymore. That's racist. Well, we would feel the same way if Canadians were pouring over the northern border. You know, it's not a racial issue at all, as Bishop said. It's the fact that any nation, and as far as I'm aware, the United States of America is the only nation that has this open border issue. Almost any other nation, in fact, it's my belief that any other nation on earth, where you cross the border illegally, you're either arrested or deported something is going to happen to you. You're definitely not going to be given citizenship. You're not going to be given all the privileges the governor of Illinois just signed legislation where illegal immigrants can now be police officers. I mean, how silly can we be? But again, Bishop used a couple terms. We should be able to discuss this issue. We should be able to debate this issue. See, that's part of the censorship. We can't discuss or debate anything anymore. There is no debate. It's shut down. As soon as you express an opinion that differs from the accepted viewpoint, you're shut down. So there is no discussion. There is no debate. And you're called a racist, a homophobe, transphobe. As Bishop said, it's hate speech. It's violent. What is violent speech? I can understand violent speech if I'm advocating, that someone would be harmed or killed, which that kind of language is coming from the left anyway. The school superintendent in California that's been threatened, had death threats simply because she refuses to go along with the whole transsexual issue that is being thrust on our public schools. We should be able to stand up and say no. Boys should not be allowed in girls' locker rooms and girls' restrooms. Men should not be allowed in women's locker rooms and women's restrooms. Men should not be biological men should not be allowed to play in women's sports, whatever the sport might be, or compete in women's sports. That should not be a debatable issue. That should be said. We simply ought to say no. We don't agree with that. But as soon as you do, then you're, well, that's violent speech. That's hate speech. That's, you're, and then we're talking about all the the issues with, well, you're harming the transsexual students. And I'm thinking, well, how many are there? There can't be that many. And yet you were being told, well, you know, there's 30% of students in our public high schools are transsexual. That's baloney. That is absolute baloney. They may identify as that at this point, but that's simply because of the peer pressure that's being put on them to be open to that kind of thing. And when you're indoctrinated from preschool up through high school with this garbage, it's no wonder that 30% of high school students might say they're transsexual. It just doesn't make any sense. But anyway, the idea of no debate, of no discussion, we're going to push through our agenda, we're going to do what we want to do, and you can't question it, you can't say anything about it, that's censorship to its highest degree, and that's exactly what we're facing in the United States today. So as Bishop said, you know, there aren't I don't know that there aren't any other candidates who would stand up for this, but there sure aren't very many. And be able to say, no, you know, we have to stand up. Man, one of Bishop Jackson's main points is we've got to get back to God. You know, God has got to be the center point of who we are. That's the founders. I was just reading this morning, you know, of the number of the founders who were clergy, the number of the founders, and they were. And the whole idea that these first for the pilgrims coming across, the people came for Jamestown, came for the purpose of evangelizing, came for the purpose of spreading the gospel. This idea of America as a secular nation is totally opposed to what the founders stood for. So we need to get back to God. We need to get back to His Word. We need to get back to the standards. I know the Bishop has made points. The fact that you know there should only be according to regulation to law there should only be two genders, male and female. Marriage should be defined as between one man and one woman. All of these things should be those he's recommending as constitutional amendments that life begins at conception. Those are things that we should not be bending on. We should not be compromising on those positions. Those things that we should be standing up and saying, no, this is the truth. This is the standard, and we need to stick to it. Well, I don't see any other questions or comments, so I think we'll just wind it down at this point. Thank you for being on the call. Again, I'm glad that Bishop Jackson was able to jump in here for the short time that he had and help things move forward. But as he said, he'll be back on the call next week. Our guest next week is former Ambassador Ken Blackwell. So you want to be on the call and hear from Ambassador Blackwell. Let's conclude as Bishop always does. We can't back up. I can't remember exactly how he puts it. We need to stand up, speak up, not back up, because we cannot be defeated if we do not quit, because we are on God's side.